Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather round the radio. It's time for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show, lots of good people involved, including its host and its founder, the great Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a champion in the battle against ageism, and that's basically what this program is about, upper demographic issues and the battle against ageism. On today's program, Carol will be talking with Joan Kramer, and she's going to bring us down memory lane, talking about such Hollywood legends as Humphrey Bogart, Henry Fonda, Katharine Hepburn, and I'll be telling you more about that in just a moment. But looking ahead to the rest of the hour, we're going to be joined by our expert on all things, attorney Steve Wiseman, who will be interviewing Nelson Dellis, the three-time USA memory champion. And he's going to talk about the Extreme Memory Challenge and how you can log on, take the challenge, and see how you rate against the best. He's also going to share how you can help fight off the effects of Alzheimer's. So that's coming up. And Steve, who is also, I would say, the nation's leading, certainly one of the leading, but he, in my opinion, is the leading expert on fraud and scams and security in the cyber age. He's going to talk about car fraud, the buying and leasing of cars, and what you really need to know. And on top of it all, the cherry on the sundae will be a visit from a media expert, the vice president, the executive vice president and executive editor of Talkers Magazine, the trade publication in this very industry that we are part of, Talk Radio. Kevin Casey will be joining us, and he'll be talking about what's going on behind the scenes in the media. Okay, let's get rolling. Here is Carol Marx in conversation with Joan Kramer. She's the author of In the Company of Legends, which is published by Beaufort Books. She's one half of the Emmy Award-winning team of Kramer and Healy, who have documented the lives and careers of Hollywood legends, including Humphrey Bogart, Henry Fonda, and Katharine Hepburn. TCM is going to be screening five of their documentaries on April 7th, so let's get a preview. Here now is Carol Marx in conversation with Joan Kramer.
Now, you've known and worked with David for three decades. Didn't you meet by chance, and any idea that you'd be working together on projects for such a lengthy period of time?
Absolutely not. It was absolutely true that we met by chance, and no idea that we'd be working together for such a long time. As a matter of fact, it did not have an auspicious beginning. We did a local show called Skyline, and I knew an art and costume designer of a scenery and costume designer named Ruben Terarutunian, very well known for ballets, movies, theater, etc. And Ruben was a friend until we did a show with him, and then he wanted to become the second director, and he was running in and out of the control room all day long with David trying to get a shot. I mean, trying to get the show on tape, and in the end, he did get the show on tape, and Ruben was thrilled, but I thought, oh my goodness, this is the last time I'll ever work with David. Well, here we are still working together.
And I wanted to start off with you about talking about your first documentary, because it was about Fred Astaire, and a program about him had never been produced in America, and of course, he was adamant about not appearing in it. And it was then that you realized you had to get Ginger Rogers to appear in the documentary. And she really had enough of talking about him. So how did you persuade her to do that?
Well, you know, when you work with somebody in a relationship, you know, a producing relationship like David and I do, I always was the talent booker because I worked for the Dick Cavett Show, and that's what I did. I booked talent. So I always tried to round up the talent, and I tried with Ginger, writing her a letter to her ranch in Oregon, and very quickly got a no from her assistant. And I tried again, and it still was a no, and that's when I said to David, this needs another voice. And David comes from Britain, and David is a man, and he's a director, and he has a British accent. I mean, it's an unbeatable combination, right? So I said, you have to call her. Well, David doesn't love the telephone the way I do, But he picked it up, and he spoke to her for a good long time. And by the end of the conversation, she said, call me in a couple of days. And so when he called her again, she said to him, I saw him blush. And I didn't know what she was saying, but after he hung up, he told me that she had said, you're British, you're quite charming, young man. And I said, David, I'm going to use a cliche, but I told you so. And that's how she agreed. She agreed to let us come to her home in Palm Springs, and she said she'd do her own makeup and hair. And she wanted us to be there at 1 o'clock for a 2 o'clock shoot, 1 o'clock to set up 2 o'clock shoot. And spot on time, she walked out.
Very professional, huh?
Yeah, very professional. That's the old studio system.
Right.
You know, that's the old studio system in which they were spot on time and very professional.
Now, you had to be very surprised, because I was very surprised to read your book and find out that Ginger Rogers had no formal dance training.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Just amazing. And then your contract that you had with Assayer Fretz, that he had to see a rough draft of the documentary.
There was no contract with Assayer.
Oh, there wasn't.
It was his agent.
His agent.
His agent said that because of our, quote, tenacity, end quote, Mr. Assayer is going to let you proceed with the shows. And we thought, oh, that's very nice. We're proceeding anyway. We didn't know he could have stopped us because he controlled his clips.
And didn't he say, when seeing the film cut, which he actually did get to see, look how much better I'm dancing with her.
Mm-hmm.
And who is the she? And that amazed me.
That was Rita Hayworth.
Yeah, that very, very surprising.
Well, Rita Hayworth, of course, was a trained dancer and a good one. And Fred knew her father from the vaudeville circuit because her father and uncle had a vaudeville act where they danced, and so did she, and she joined them. So he knew that family, but she was a trained dancer, and I think a terrific one.
Now, after the success of the Fred Astaire documentary, PBS asked if he could do a star profile of Katharine Hepburn, who certainly lived by her own rules and certainly protected her privacy, and she agreed to do it if she didn't have to appear in it, but it would be narrated by somebody else. And were you surprised how important it was for other people to get Hepburn's approval if they wanted to be in that documentary? And didn't that start this wonderful 18-year professional and so personal relationship that you had with her?
Exactly. And I was surprised and not surprised. I mean, you know, a man named Garson Kanin had written a book called Tracy and Hepburn. And he and his wife, his late wife, the actress Ruth Gordon, had been very close friends of Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy. But they didn't know that Garson Kanin was going home and taking notes after every dinner they had, after every vacation they all took together. And when he wrote the book, she just didn't talk to him again. I mean, she found that completely a betrayal. So no, everybody in her circle, her friends, knew that, and I knew that, too. So I wasn't all that surprised that everybody checked with her before they said yes to us. But she didn't want to appear, and she didn't want the show done. But, again, during the talk with David, Mr. British, he said to her, she said, you can't do that. You can't talk to just the people around me. They're all dead. And he said, no, they're not. And he started to name names. And that's when she said, oh, but you mustn't forget Tony Harvey. Anthony Harvey directed me in The Lion in Winter. And David realized she was saying yes.
And it turned out beautifully. And her friendship led you to do documentaries about some of the people that she did know and cared about. And the most important one was in 1982 when she said she wanted to do one about Spencer Tracy and to narrate it. And why did she say that was the right time to do the documentary? What did she tell you about Spencer Tracy that you found most interesting?
Well, we asked her why now, because obviously she never talked about him before publicly. And she said it's very similar to the fact that she was asked to do a film portraying Rose Kennedy. And she said, I can't do that film while members of that family are still alive. I know that family, and it's not right. And she said, I could never do a show about Spencer while Louise Tracy was alive, but Louise Tracy died, and I now am friends with Spencer and her Spencer's and her daughter Susie Tracy, and I feel now it's appropriate and okay for me to do a program about him. Out of respect for Louise Tracy, I could not do it while she was living. Louise Tracy was Mrs. Spencer Tracy.
And I found that the comment that she said about Spencer Tracy was so telling, because she said that he found acting easy and life difficult.
Yes.
That's
acting
tough.
Easy and life difficult. She says he had eyes like an old wild animal. You were not looking into an empty room. He found acting easy and life difficult.
That's Joan Kramer in conversation with Carol Marks, part one of a two-part conversation. She's the author of In the Company of Legends, published by Beaufort Books. And coming up in the next segment, she'll be talking more about these legends and the forthcoming screening of the documentaries on TCM this coming April 7th. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with four legs and a tail. My husband and I train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. Our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed a very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat, but adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite's the bomb.
Tell everybody we know about Dynavite.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite. If it's working, don't quit.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite, it's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000. DINOVITE.com.
For Touch of Gray in Washington, D.C., I'm Suzanne Hannis. You may recognize the symptoms of elderly depression, loss of appetite, weight loss, social withdrawal, problems with hygiene, neglecting personal well-being, or even a sadness that lasts over 2 weeks. Sound familiar? Here's what you can do about it. Exercise, eat well, and don't forget to socialize. Researchers at Duke University suggest exercising at least 3 times a week to keep the body and mind healthy. That means swimming, walking, and maybe light exercise classes with the approval of your medical doctor. Another key to happiness is maintaining self-esteem through clubs and groups. You might consider the gardening club or a musical choir. And lastly, treat your body well, and it will thank you by feeling well. That means practicing good nutrition and eating well-balanced meals daily. Naturally, the needs of patients vary, but feel free to consult a geriatric specialist to make a personalized treatment plan. I'm Suzanne Hannis. Find out more at PremierGeriatricRN.com.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Whoa, a digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Glad you like it. We can finally toss out that old massive stereo.
Mom, you can't just throw out electronics. They need to be recycled or donated.
Recycled? Like aluminum cans?
Yeah. You just go to greenergadgets.org, enter your zip code, and it tells you where the nearest certified recycling center is.
I knew that.
Okay, Mom.
Recycling electronics is as easy as buying them. Log on to greenergadgets.org to find electronics recycling options near you.